Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends, Christ our Savior has lived, He has died, He has risen, He has ascended. His saving work is all finished. We're here today to rejoice in His birth, but we know history, and we know that all that He came to do, He completed it. It is finished. Even now, He is reigning over all things. The Bible says that He is the ruler of the kings of the earth, and we also know of His promise that He will come again. We don't know when, but certainly He will come, and it's important that we are always ready, and when we know Him as our Savior, we are ready for Him to come again. Today, as we celebrate His birth, we focus on a popular hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory. In one man's opinion, he thinks it might be possibly the best written sacred Christmas carol of all time. Before we get into the hymn itself, let's learn a little bit about the composer of the hymn. His name is James Montgomery, and he was born in Scotland. He was born back in 1771. His father was a missionary. When James was young, his parents were called to mission work in the West Indies, and he did not go with them. Instead, he went to live in Ireland. So a difficult thing, a young boy living in another place, his parents in a faraway place doing mission work. Sadly, 5 years later, as his parents were doing the mission work, they both died on the mission field. Now James is left on his own. By the age of 20, history tells us that James was a little bit more than a vagrant, moving from job to job, often unemployed, homeless, sometimes for weeks at a time. James did enjoy one thing in life, though. He enjoyed writing. Eventually, God allowed him to take over a local newspaper, and through the articles that he wrote in the newspaper in the editorial section, he was really waging a war for Ireland's freedom. That was at a time when England was dominating over Ireland, and he's trying to wage war through what he wrote in order that they might be free. And he wrote so strongly that twice he landed in prison because of the way he was writing. When he wasn't busy writing, though, he was busy reading his Bible in an attempt to understand the power that motivated his parents' lives and ultimately why they would go so far as to die on the mission field in service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why such a thing? He wanted to understand that about his parents that he really never got to know that well. Even though his writing oftentimes stirred people up in a political way, his readers noticed something of great unity when, in his editorial article on Christmas Eve in 1816, he shared the words of the hymn we're focusing on today, Angels from the Realms of Glory. The hymn was initially called Nativity. The hymn, it tells the story of angels proclaiming the birth of a Savior for all people. See, oftentimes in his writing, he was kind of focusing positive on one group of people, negative on another group of people. But with the hymn, though, it tells of a Savior for all people. English and Irish, rich and poor, Anglican and Moravian, and you can go on with what would be included in the list. We're all in a bad situation because of sin, so Christ came to put all of us in a wonderful situation by His coming, His living, and all the work that He did to take away our sins and open the way to heaven. James Montgomery, he's the writer of the words of the hymn, but the tune came from a man named Henry Smart. Talking about Henry just for a moment, by the age of 18, he was going blind. Can you imagine that? You could see for 18 years, and by the age of 18, now you're going blind. And back at that time, there was nothing that could be done about it. And then it wasn't until another 20-some years later that for the first time he heard the words of angels from the realms of glory. It was not yet a hymn. It was simply a poem, if you will, something that had been written down but had not yet been sung. When he heard the words, he wrote the tune that we have today. So even though he had been blind for 20 years, he was a great writer of music, and God allowed him to be able to do that even in his blindness. Angels from the Realms of Glory would soon become one of the songs that opened the door to a new, joyful, uplifting musical style in hundreds of English churches. What does that mean? That means that up to that time in the English churches, they were basically just chanting the Psalms. No other music was allowed. But this was such a wonderful hymn that that was one of the key hymns that moved them to open the church doors to this kind of music, which has led to much of what we use today within the church. Let's go right to the hymn itself. Going to stanza one, it says, "Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth." So angels, they are messengers. So imagine the throne room in heaven, awesome in every way, a vast, vast multitude of angels surrounding the throne, and the angels are messengers. So whenever God wants to, he can call over an angel, give that angel a message, and that angel then relays that message to whoever God wants to receive that particular message. So we know, as recorded in Luke chapter 2, we know that God sent an angel. And where did the angel come from? He came from the realms of glory. And why did he come? He came to announce to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem that a Savior had been born to them, who is Christ the Lord. Those shepherds needed a Savior. Do you need a Savior? God wants us to all say yes. In fact, we do. We know in our hearts and minds we have all fallen far short of God's will over and over again. And God doesn't say that good is good enough. God demands sinless perfection. None of us are anywhere close to that category, so we all desperately need a Savior, and the Savior is the Christ of Christmas. Since our action can never make things right with God, God took action through Jesus. So the refrain says, "Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King." So today, we are here to worship him. We are here to worship the Christ. As recorded in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men, they came to worship the baby Jesus. What an unusual thing. These important men from far away, they make a very difficult trip. They bring very important gifts. And yet when they arrive, the Bible says that they fell down and worshiped him. Even though he was only an infant, they bowed down before him and presented these gifts. Now here in 2016, we know so much more about Jesus than they did at that time. We know he is God in human flesh. We know that he gave up everything for us. We know he is the only way to heaven. So how should we respond? We can respond even better than the wise men. Let us trust in him with our entire being. Let us worship him, not only now, but in our daily lives. And let us even honor him with great gifts to show how valuable he is to us now and forever. In the second stanza, the hymn says, "Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing, yonder shines the infant light." What does that bring to mind? Well, in Luke chapter 2, we know there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. It was at that time, on that night, that God's messenger, the angel, announced the amazing news that the Messiah, the Christ, the Word made flesh, the light of the world, had been born in Bethlehem. Thank you. Did you find it helpful to think about the words a little bit before you sang them? Didn't they come to life? Didn't they have so much more meaning when we sang them like that? Let's go on to stanza 3. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar, seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen his natal star. Sages, what are they? They are wise men. They are being called to stop their deep thinking and to start seeking the great desire of nations. Who was the great desire of nations? We're talking about the one whom we need the most. The one whose birth was accompanied by a star. The one given by God to save all people from their sins. In today's world, there are many very learned people. Many learned people, but the true wise men, how would we define them? They are the ones who admit their sins. They admit that they've messed up big time. They are also the ones who are sorry for those sins. They know they have sinned against the Almighty God, and they are also the ones who, by God's grace, they are seeking the great desire of nations. May God help us to always be counted among such people. Stanza 4. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. The fall brought condemnation. So what did the Lord do? He promised salvation. Then the long wait began. So they were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for 4,000 years. Let's try to think about a couple people that were part of that waiting process in an exciting way. Think about Simeon and Anna, as recorded later on in Luke chapter 2. The Holy Spirit made it known to Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. Think about the amazing, thrilling thing that must have been for him. He was an Old Testament believer. He believed the scriptures. He knew he was in trouble. He knew he needed the coming Messiah. And yet to find out that he would actually, with his own physical eyes, he would lay sight on the very Messiah before he died. That must have been such an exciting thing for him to hear that news. And in fact, we know that he did. That is our liturgical piece, the Nunc Dimittis. As he says, he is now ready to depart in peace, because his very eyes have seen God's salvation. And then also at that time, we think also about a woman named Anna. And the Bible tells us that when she was young, she got married. After a short time being married, her husband died. And she lived in the temple for about 60 years, longing like Simeon to see the Messiah. And God also granted her that privilege to be able to see him with her very own eyes before the end of her life. They were so blessed to see their Savior. And even today, how blessed are we that we get to see him with the eyes of faith. But with our very bodies, we get to take into our bodies the very body that he gave and the very blood that he shed in order to take away our sins, even the sins of the entire world. Finally, going on to the last stanza, stanza 5, it says, "All creation, join in praising God the Father, Spirit, Son. Evermore your voice is raising to the eternal, three in one." Let's understand that with the fall into sin, not only were the people pulled down, but the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that even the entire creation was pulled down. So as we think about the birth of our Savior, that should bring great joy not only to all people in the entire world, but great joy even to creation itself. So creation itself looked forward to the birth of the Christ, and even now they are longing for the return of Christ in order to redeem them, in order to make them into the creation that God initially made before they were pulled down because of sin. Should we look forward to the same thing? By all means. All of us, if we really thought about it, are struggling in some way. Maybe we're not quite physically well. Maybe we have various temptations in our lives that we know are not good. Maybe we're struggling with a relationship. Maybe we're struggling financially. There are various ways in which all of us are struggling. And why is that? Because God doesn't like us? No, it's because we live in a sinful world. So every problem we have is because of sin, but through Jesus Christ, God wants us to know that our sins are taken away in his sight. God sees us to be holy and righteous. Yes, our lives are still a struggle in various ways, but God wants us to know that even now, in Christ, we have the gift of eternal life. And when Christ comes again, it's at that time that we will have then the fullness of eternal life. So God is saying, trust me, don't give up. Yes, the world's going to attack you. It's going to be difficult in various ways, but don't give up on me, because one day you're going to see the fullness of eternal life and you're going to be with me and rejoice with me forever and ever. Even though we deserve the worst, God has taken action in Christ. He has reversed the curse. He has redeemed you and me and the entire world. Let us rejoice. Let us reap the benefits. Now, let us look forward to all that is yet to come. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, even though we have sinned so much, amazingly, you love us and you have saved us through Jesus. Enable us now and always to receive your gift of Jesus and move us even today and every day to share him with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.